Jonathan, this is Natalie. The recordings have been started. Would you like me to do a roll call for you?
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you. And I guess ask if anybody's statements of interest have changed.
All right, perfect. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the non-PDP Data and Metrics for Policymaking Working Group call on the 22nd of July, 2014. On the call today, we have Claire de Youssouf, Ninad Orlik, Olivier Kwame, Cheryl Langanol, Jonathan Zuck, Pam Little, and Rising John Ozazawa. We have received no apology for today's call. From staff, we have Barry Cobb, Steve Chan, Alas Hoffman, Terry Anu, and myself, Matthew Perbin. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Jonathan.
Let me unmute. Thanks, everyone, for joining the Data Metrics call. It was good seeing some of you in London, and I think we're sort of rounding the corner here in terms of looking at the past and beginning to look at the future and trying to figure out what the framework might look like and what kind of toolkit we might be able to build for policy working groups in the future to take data into consideration. Barry, are you interested in doing a recap from what was discussed in London?
Yes, sure. All right, thank you, Jonathan. So this is Barry Cobb for the transcript. So just to basically highlight some of the things that occurred in London, first and foremost, our session was on Thursday morning at 8 a.m. We did have a few participants attend that had also traveled to London, and I think we only had one person on remote. So our participant participation was a little light, but that didn't stop us from still having a good, meaningful discussion. Predominantly, our agenda was focused around the continuation of reviewing our use cases, and in particular, we reviewed through IRTP Part A and went through that in a very, very short recap. Essentially, there were no consensus policy recommendations as a result of that particular group, and any outstanding issues were converted over into Part B or C or D of the IRTP, which was originally broken up into five groups. Because there had been some other preliminary data gathering exercises leading up to the launch of those PDPs, there really wasn't much of a data and metrics component to the analysis and in the final report. But so very similar to the others, we just reviewed through our new template that, I shouldn't say new anymore, but our revised template of our use case analysis form, and just touched on the highlights of the work products as a result, such as the issue report, the charter, and the final report. Secondarily, we just briefly touched on the fact of one of the use cases that we reviewed, which was PEDNR, which was post-expiration domain name recovery, that is now a consensus policy called the ERRP, which is the, I don't know why I can't ever remember the name, but consensus policy that was adopted by the GNSO Council and approved by the board, and later implemented by staff. The policy went into effect the 31st of August of last year. The reason why I brought it up, I did have a conversation with the former chair of that working group, Alan Greenberg, and he accepted the offer to review through our use case of that PEDNR working group. I have sent him our revised version of our use case analysis form that I sent out on the email list today. And so hopefully in the near future we'll get some direct input from him as to, you know, his perception of how that working group proceeded, especially as it relates to capturing data and metrics for the recommendations that were made. If you recall through our previous review of that, there were a couple of surveys that were completed that did provide insight into the recommendations that were formed. At the same time, there was issues in terms of gaining access to other data as it related to the expiration of domain names. and partly one of the reasons why, as Jonathan mentioned about rounding the corners and moving into the future for defining a framework to assist policy development exercises. Also, towards the end of the call, I had briefly mentioned that there was an action item several calls ago that was assigned to Tony Ornato in relation to what we've uncovered in terms of the review of our of these previous efforts. And just as a quick highlight, I did send this out to the list just a little bit ago, but to put this into context, per the PDP guidelines, it's a requirement that each policy development group reach out to the SOs and the ACs, and in relation to the GNSO, that includes the stakeholder groups and constituencies for early input into the policy process. And typically, there is a template that is used for that outreach that basically highlights the working group's charter and the charter questions that they're addressing in respect to the issue that's on being deliberated on at that particular time. Most of that input has been very qualitative in nature, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it because you know, I haven't really given the working group a chance to digest what I sent out in the email. But essentially, you know, two main issues with that particular aspect of the policy process were identified. One being that the scope of the audience in that outreach exercise was only limited to SOs and ACs, and there were various reasons for that, such as that the topic of interest or the issue was not of interest to the relative group that was sought after for providing input, and secondarily, that some groups may not have had an expertise to provide input into that, and thirdly, that there were potentially competing resources for what a particular group considered a more important issue for them to deliberate on or provide input on. And so those are kind of some of the highlights about the first issue. Secondarily, as I briefly touched on, all the input that has been utilized or asked for in the past was strictly a qualitative component. So essentially they would take a series of these charter questions, define a questionnaire of sorts, and send it out for the request for input, and basically in that response, the answers would that had been deliberated on by that particular group would be of qualitative nature, responding to a particular issue question and either providing additional information about the issue or in some cases would also include that particular group's position. But ultimately what this led to is in this qualitative component, there was no way to provide a quantitative aspect that was structured in a way that can help the working groups prioritize or find common denominators of issues across the groups. So ultimately, what we put together are basically two recommendations, which are listed in the middle of the AC room. And the first one is essentially that working groups consider expanding the scope of the audience beyond SOs and ACs, where additional expertise could provide value in the capture of information to better inform the issues being discussed. And then secondarily, that there should be a component to that outreach exercise, noting that the qualitative responses were still valuable in the information that was collected from the various groups, but to also include a complementary component that would provide a quantitative element to the input being received, such as a survey or other kinds of instruments that would help quantify the issue. So I just wanted to briefly give the working group a heads up on that. We will circle back around with these preliminary recommendations as we go to review through the other work products that working groups generate throughout the policy process. But it was an action that was assigned to Tony, and I just wanted to make sure that that was brought to everybody's attention and that we can close that particular one out. Lastly, there were a couple of other actions that occurred over the first weekend.
Barry, can I ask you a question about the proceeding?
Yes. Yes,
Jonathan. I wonder if it's is it possible to incorporate that survey or quantitative analysis into the chartering group and not just the working group?
Well, that is absolutely correct, and that's what I'm hopeful that this working group will do. The early outreach to the SOs ACs, or the request for input as it's formally titled, is one of the first steps a working group typically takes. When you had assigned the action item, you had asked Tony to specifically target in on this request for input, and that's how these two particular recommendations were formed. But most certainly, and we'll talk a little bit about this towards the end of the call, the other work products that a working group is either governed by or produces are on the table for us to explore to include you know, these frameworks for how metrics should be garnered. But I think it would benefit us to make a specific recommendation about this particular instrument so that because it's pretty much a template as well that is used from staff to kick things off if there
right.
were a section that had that quantitative component built into it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess my question, and maybe you're saying this already and I'm just missing it. If so, I apologize. Is it possible to send this questionnaire out from the charter group rather than the work group?
I would have to ask.
I think part of the issue is in the definition. Part of the role, I believe, of the charting group is to define the scope of the problem. Right? Define the scope of the work of the working group. And, I mean, this will be part of our discussion about our overall recommendations, I suppose. But if some of this quantitative analysis in terms of the definition of the scope of the problem is going to get pushed to the chartering group out of the working group, then that would suggest that any quantitative input might want to happen at the time that the charter group is working before, you know, doing that scoping. Does that make sense?
Yes. The only aspect is in terms of the formal process, the drafting team that builds the charter and the chartering questions that are contained within need to be approved by the GNSO Council first before that particular step of when the working group is formed and they do that initial outreach. And to answer your question more specifically, could that task be moved to that charter drafting team? I need to ask Marika and others if that's possible, because that's likely a departure from our standard process now. So I don't have an answer for that.
I mean, I guess a lot of this is a departure from our standard process. But so, I mean, is that a takeaway, or can one of them speak up? Is anybody on the call that – are you going to just take that away as a question to ask, Marika?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, thanks, Mary. I won't take up any more time.
Jonathan, Cheryl here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just on that, Cheryl, for the record, I hear what you're saying, and I see the advantage of where you're heading on that, Jonathan, but I wouldn't want to make it exclusively the role of the chartering team. I think it may be appropriate for outlining and proposing of some key questions and surveying to be done. It might be appropriate in that chartering space. It might be appropriate for it to be very clearly seen as, you know, a first starting point for the work group. But I think we could get really murky if the chartering space and the ability of the work group to act as independently as it can while still pursuing its specific questions and charter. I sort of think that separation of church and state is still kind of important to have, even if the answer back from Marika and staff is that there's a way that this can actually be technically done. But I don't think there's any reason why we can't propose that, even if technically there is an issue of putting carts before horses, that a chartering group should take a focus and look at first step metrics and survey materials. I also wouldn't want to see it limited to only assaying in that very early stage, because quite often, particularly on some of the longer PDP processes, it's during the process that important survey work may come to light and may need to be done. Just my
sure, and I guess I didn't come to the question with an answer. It wasn't one of those cross-examination questions where you know the answer before you ask it. I wonder if the chartering process, because part of the process of chartering now is to define the scope of the scope of the activity of the working group, is the degree to which the scope of the problem should be part of the charter too. And the answer may be no, but that was really the question I was asking. Barry, go ahead.
And just to piggyback on that, you know, there's nothing that says or prevents the charter drafting team from outlining the parameters of what should be requested for input by the SOs and ACs. And,
right.
And the other drawback that I would think about trying to migrate this task into that charter drafting team is if that were to influence the charter in any way, that would really draw out the drafting team component exercise, and that's really why there has been this...
But in a potentially valuable way, I mean, if it's just time and it's a question of where it gets spent, I'm not sure that I find that compelling, right? If it's time that's going to need to be spent, having the charting process take longer so the work group process takes shorter isn't necessarily a bad thing in and of itself, I guess I'm saying.
This is very, very true, and but that's also not to exclude us. You know, I think part of the recommendations that this working group will take a strong look at is at the issue report stage and seeking particular data and metrics that better describe the issue being discussed, as well as a comment period that that is conducted on the initial issue report at that stage as well. So the charter drafting team is probably the secondary component, and the more that we can enhance the issue report side of elements and acquire the proper data and metrics to support the issue, thus bridging
sure.
that gap.
Okay. Yeah, we don't need to take up more time with it now, but I just wanted to noodle that a little bit more, that's all.
Absolutely, and like I mentioned, we'll definitely circle back to these. I know that this very first draft of the recommendations themselves can use work, and we'll look at it in the broader context of all of those work products. The only other two, I think they were basically kind of action items that came out in relation to our effort here with the DMPM. During the Saturday and Sunday sessions with the GNSO, it was mentioned, I think, by the chair, Jonathan Robinson, of the GNSO Council, that it might be a good idea that we try to coordinate our efforts with the activities of the GNSO review team, which is just basically now getting launched. So I still have that action on my plate to... for at the very least to ensure that you know, we have a communication line between what their activities are and what our activities are, and see how we can complement that exercise. And then secondarily, I think it was between the GNSO and board meeting on the weekend, there was also some comments made by one of the board members in terms of some of the improvements. And I think that it also related somewhat to the GNSO review but I need to go fish out the particular comment because I can't remember the exact board member. But it had a direct connection with what we were trying to accomplish here. So I still have that on my action item list, and I'll fish that out and make sure I send it to the list so that we keep it on our radar. So outside of that, that's pretty much all I had in regards to a recap from London. Jonathan or anyone, do you want to add anything there?
No, that sounds right. I mean, obviously, the other thing that came up was in the presentation to GNSO Council about getting a copy to the folks that were on the working groups, getting a copy of our analysis. And I guess you've done that for one person, and I guess the question is just whether or not there's anybody else that we ought to gain input from that isn't directly in our group. You got input from Alan, right?
Verbally there at the meeting, and I basically asked if he would kindly try to put it in words, which I sent him our revised version, and hopefully we'll get some feedback from him in the near future.
So I guess the question is whether or not there's anyone else like him that would provide any additional color on any of the other analyses, or do you feel like you've had enough conversations with the people that were involved?
To be honest, Alan's the only one that I've reached out to that was at least a chair of a former one of these, a former chair of one of these working groups. I'll be happy to do so if the group thinks that that's going to be a value. I think a few of the former chairs are not necessarily in the same kind of roles as they were when they chaired those particular groups, but that shouldn't prevent them from providing their own input. And I think the other aspect of it is, you know, based on the analysis we've done so far, you know, I feel like we have a pretty good idea of, you know, some working groups did function well in terms of using data and metrics in creating their recommendations. Some didn't, and others tried but met resistance.
And I guess the only reason I bring it up is not to create more work for you, Barry, and I apologize that I may be doing that. It was the nature of Alan's comments in the hallway about what took place that was kind of political in the best way that I can describe it, in terms of the kind of resistance or pushback that they received. And I know that Cheryl has mentioned on previous calls that not all of the gossip, if you will, makes it into these reports. And if we're particularly trying to look at how to sidestep that in the future, that input might be useful if there's some color or commentary or political perspectives that aren't to be found in the text as we found them. So that's where I was coming from. I welcome other people in the group to speak up on this to see if that's a worthwhile exercise.
And this is Barry. I can, you know, as you can probably not see in the AC room, as I have the spreadsheet that has all of the previous use cases that we've analyzed. And at the top, I've tried to identify who the chair was for those particular mm-hmm. efforts, so I can try to make individual contact to see if they're interested in providing any of that input.
I mean, maybe it's worth an email just to see if it, because it might just be a few lines here and there, that the real problem that, you know, the registries had with this particular request was XYZ or something like that. It may end up being very little work for them to provide some fairly valuable input.
Will do.
Thank you.
Hello, can I talk with Olivier?
Olivier, go ahead.
I would like to ask for the recap from London. Can we have this recap on the transcript form, please? Waiting from, please.
Can you have the you're asking for the transcript from London?
The transcript of this recap from London, yes.
I think that's published, right, Barry?
Yes, I'm fetching the link right now.
Thank you. And then the only other thing I recall from London as well in the GNSO meeting was a recommendation by Jonathan, and maybe you already said this, about trying to find some way to coordinate our efforts with the efforts that are going on in the Policy versus Implementation Working Group. And so maybe that's just a question of when to coordinate with them.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Did you already mention that in your summary, Barry? No.
Sure, you, Jonathan.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead. I didn't see your hand.
I didn't put it up. That was my fault entirely. Just when you mentioned coordinating with the Policy and Implementation Working Group, my immediate question serving on that group is, to what end and for what purpose? I'm on that group, and I'm not sure I see it.
Okay, well, I mean, and that could be very good feedback. That was a recommendation by Jonathan Robertson at the GNSO meeting when we made our statement, and I think his logic was that part of what we'll be recommending out of this group are some things to do to check back on the success of the implementation, right? To do some measuring a year out or something like that, or to see whether or not the actions that were recommended and consequently taken by the board and implemented by the staff, et cetera, had the desired outcome, and you revisit your metrics and say, did complaints go down, did whatever happen that we had chosen to measure as the part of this problem. And so then the question becomes, does that become, does keeping track of those metrics and revisiting them long after the work group has disbanded, does that become part of implementation? I think that was probably Jonathan's logic.
Cheryl here. I can follow that rationale. I can see, therefore, where the outcomes of our work may have influence on the other work group's end game. But, yeah, probably a worthwhile a chat, but I wouldn't want to... I think we should be really specific when we approach that work group, why we're approaching that work group, because the knee-jerk reaction might be exactly the same as mine was. Well, fine, but why? But if it's a matter of that work group having the advantage of knowing as we go through our work where our deliberations may be heading, and that may assist in allowing a clear set of nexus or interchange points that make sense as they develop their work, then sure.
Well, so, Cheryl, I appreciate you volunteering to be the liaison.
That'll teach me to shut up, won't it?
Between this working group and that one. So you're a really generous and giving person.
Thanks, Jonathan. Okay.
So I guess all I'll ask, given that Jonathan's the one who brought it up, Jonathan Robinson brought it up, if you could keep an eye out for things that we might want to shuttle over to them, drafts, et cetera, that might affect the contemplations they're doing about implementation, then speak up. That might be enough of a handling of this.
Okay, I'll take that mantle on.
All right, thank you. Barry, go ahead.
I put this in the chat. I think Jonathan was referring to the GNSO review, not the Policy and Implementation Working Group, and that was the context that he was making. But to sprinkle a little bit with what Cheryl had mentioned, I think very soon that working group will, as per one of their charter questions, be reviewing the implementation review teams and taking a look at previous...
Well, yes.
IRT efforts and whether how successful or not successful they were, and especially looking at the distinction or the line between when something's being implemented and it raises policy questions, how would the IRT re-engage the GNSO Council in those instances? But a subcomponent to that will also be taking a look at staff's implementation of policy, as to which there's a framework that is just about that's developed. And I know that one component of that after the policy has been implemented is it does zero in on that continuous improvement cycle and measuring the effectiveness of that policy.
Yep.
And those kind of components. I don't think it's been shared with Cheryl's working group yet, but
no.
I know that that's on the runway.
So I guess this is just a question of planting the seed in your head and Cheryl's to make sure that we're not stepping anybody's toes unnecessarily.
Yeah. We can work hand in
hand. If it's necessarily, then we'll do it, but let's not do it unnecessarily. All right, Barry, do you want to go ahead and get into your spreadsheet? I know I derailed us a little bit here.
No worries. Good conversation. So the next part of our agenda is basically the spreadsheet that you can't read in the AC room, but I did send it to you in the list, so it'll probably be better to follow along with your own version. The goal here is to compile all of our use cases into one instrument by which they can be compared side by side, although, again, in many ways, this is a qualitative exercise, what you see before you right now, given that each working group was addressing a completely different issue that is distinctive from any of the others in the past. However, we did try to categorize it in a way, at least across the three primary work products in that policy process, analyzing what the final issue report contained from data and metrics, what was included in the charter, and what was included in the final report. So to date, we've gone through FastFlux, PEDNR, which is now ERRP, the AdGrace period limits policy. We reviewed IRTPA in London, and I started on IRTP B and C, which I did not yet finish prior to this call, but I'll make sure to complete this week. But both of these are actually still being implemented by staff, so they won't be as complete as some of the previous ones that have been closed out and implemented fully. So in terms of this part of the call today, I didn't have one ready for us to review in detail, and I'm not so much sure that it's necessary to do that from this point forward unless the working group chooses to. But what I was hoping that we could have a discussion on this call today, as I mentioned, a lot of what we have contained in the spreadsheet is qualitative extractions of what occurred in these previous efforts. And what I'm hoping to receive is some input from the working group members as to how we can try to quantify some of this. And most specifically, Jonathan, I sent you an email on this. You may not have seen it yet, but prior to our session starting in London, I talked about this exercise. And I had briefly mentioned that I was going to be looking for a way to try to classify the components of our analysis into something that can be rolled up and categorized in a kind of a more quantitative summary table. And you had mentioned three or four attributes that were, I think, very good in accomplishing that. But unfortunately, the recording hadn't started, so it's not on the transcript, and I didn't have a pen ready to write it down. So I'm hoping that you can access your memory files and try to remember what you said, because I think there were four categories that you had mentioned that would classify this output that I thought would really be beneficial for us to do.
All right. Well, why don't we take that count? Why don't we schedule a call and work my memory, because right now I'm not calling it up instantly, but I can probably get back there. But rather than going through these recall exercises on this call, let's you and I just connect and we'll jog it. We'll jog it free.
Sounds good to me. And of course, I mean, I'm opening this up to the working group as well. So I'm looking for input and suggestions on, as we review FastFlux, for example, and the idea would be somewhere at the bottom of the spreadsheet, we'll have 3 to 6 categories. I'm not really sure what they should be, but some way that we can rank the use of data and metrics in this exercise. That's something that's meaningful, short, sweet, and to the point that we can do an even that quantitative comparative analysis from one group to another as to what worked, what didn't, and what should have been done perhaps so that we can quantify this and make it a little bit more digestible when we do import this into the final report, or I should say the initial report.
That sounds good. So people probably haven't had a chance to absorb this, but does everybody kind of get the effort? Do you have questions for Barry before you take this away as a homework assignment?
Yeah, Cheryl here. I think I've got questions for Barry. I always get a little nervous when we're taking lumps of qualitative data and trying to make them some sort of quantitative thing, because as you know, you can make arbitrary labels to then form pie charts and statistics just for the sake of doing it, rather than giving you anything more valuable than you can take out of the qualitative information. Are you looking at some percentages, some go no goes? I guess not being privy to the conversation that happened before the recording started in London might just be putting me behind the eight ball here. Maybe if I had an idea of what these categories may have been and therefore how those values would be interpreted. Please explain, I think, is what I'm saying.
Thank you, Cheryl. This is Barry. I would love to, and all I can say is that what Jonathan had said was really good, and I just kid for the life of me. I've been racking my brain for the last 24 hours to try to remember it, and I couldn't.
I'm going to put a pin in it then. I think we need to come back to this.
All right. Yeah, sorry. I'll get it back. We'll figure it out. Barry and I will figure it out.
But I think in general you're right. It wasn't necessarily to produce a pie chart or anything, but a pseudo executive summary that distills a lot of this down into something that's a lot more digestible by our future readers in the initial report. And I don't think any of the categories in column one, for example, would have percentages per se as a result of our analysis, but maybe more definitions behind it, something similar to didn't use quantitative analysis. Qualitative analysis was only used across our three work products. More like a summary table just to try to get a quicker takeaway of which ones seemed to be effective and which ones didn't. And unfortunately, I think I was so blindsided by trying to remember what Jonathan had mentioned that I couldn't even come up with my own. So I agree. We can table this. I did want to just mention it, and certainly if anybody in the working group has other ideas, we can try to distill that on the list. And as Jonathan said, we can try to do our memory recall exercise offline. So with that, are there anybody or any other questions about what we have constructed thus far? Do we believe that this is going to be useful? Hopefully you'll say yes, somewhat. At least it's in one document, and certainly each of the individual use cases will all be posted on the wiki, and in our report we'll have links back to those for more in-depth analysis should our readers choose to go there.
I certainly think it'll be useful.
Okay, great. I guess that pretty much takes care of agenda item 3. Shall I move on to the next one?
Yeah, please.
All right. So having put all of these together, one of the other things that we kind of discussed as next steps in London was the, as Jonathan mentioned, what the future looks like as opposed to looking in the past. And it occurred to me last night that given our charter and one of, I think one of the things that we hope to accomplish is, I think Jonathan had mentioned this in words, is that all of what we're looking at right now can benefit with quantitative components and analysis, especially expressed through these work products that the policy process creates or that governs a particular working group, and it's essentially about changing the culture. So we've spent a lot of time now reviewing these past efforts and specifically reading through the issue report, the charter, and the final report. I'm wondering if our possible next steps may be to actually start to take a look at those three work products and what sections of that report may look like, and start a draft exercise of what questions need to be asked in an issue report, or what types of data what types of data may be useful in helping to identify the issue, what questions should be asked in the charter that will force this change in culture for when the working group is formed to go and seek out data in a more quantitative way, as well as still promoting the qualitative components. And then more so within the final report, what kinds of questions and content should be contained in these work products that may help. And it just seemed like a more natural order of flow that while we have some of these in our shorter term memory, to start to take a look at that before we engage in the next part of our exercise, which is getting into the defining of the framework on how we may start to engage in data collection exercises with contracted parties and our third-party providers. Cheryl, I see your hand is raised.
Thanks, guys. Cheryl again for the record. I think that's an excellent plan, Barry. I also think that it's important that we look at the weightings that we give the provision of metrics and measures at the different stages. So, for example, out of today's conversation, one of my aha moments was, I do actually have them even at this hour of the morning, was how important it is to focus at that issues report stage. And so we can, I'm kind of almost seeing at some part of our reporting a bit of a decision tree or flow chart thing that sort of says here in this, puce coloured band, which happens to be issue report, it is vital that the following things are paying attention to, and then goes through with other sort of sets of recommendation, and then picking up at sort of the and even post implementation, you've got this requirement to have a baseline measurement taken pre-policy development and implementation, or at least early in policy development and well in advance of any implementation of such policy, and then you have your ability to have a comparative checkpoint against that baseline when you're looking at implementation and the various points in time post-implementation. And That, I think, is going to have to go in two ways. I think it should be... we obviously are going to have text and checklists, but I think we probably need to try and build a visual, and I don't know whether mind mapping is going to be useful or flowcharting is going to be useful or, you know, just coloured bands on the spreadsheet is going to be useful, but I think we need to try and make it for both sides of the brain so people can understand it in sort of a visual way as well as a sort of a A, B, C, and D style. Thanks. Oh,
that makes sense.
Oh, yes, I can put my hand down. It's all right. Must have been my internet decided to go slow for a moment. I was trying to put my hand down. I've managed to do so now. And I'm not volunteering to do the flow chart before you ask me.
Barry, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Barry. Well, definitely, Cheryl, your recommendation about the visual is definitely much more up my lane. So I'll be happy to take, you know, our existing policy process documentation and create a layer on top of that that highlights these critical points where we're looking to. Where we think that those data and metrics components should be engaged at the various stages of the process. And then, of course, you know, maybe start to create a complementary chart of those three major work products. Because, you know, I think where I'm struggling at is trying to just think about it on my own. Well, what exactly are the right questions that we should be asking at the issue report stage, or more importantly, the charter creation stage, that, you know, will force that future working group to go take a much stronger and deeper look at that data. So I agree, and as you mentioned, that we may not necessarily need to have all the texts and checklists established at that point. To dovetail off of that, I suspect that when we do get to the stage where we talk about the framework for how, or the boundaries for how we will engage data collection from contracted parties or third-party providers, that still may influence those components there. So I think it's almost like a parallel process as we continue to move forward.
That makes sense. Any other questions?
Okay. So
next
I think in terms of our next meeting, I think we're still meeting on an every other week term. So we'd be targeting the 5th of August for our next session. Got several actions to take away out of this call, but most importantly, my first step will be to complete out the matrix and the IRTV B and C and get that out to the list. We'll engage with Jonathan to come up with a draft of categorizing or a summary of sorts to distill down our analysis. I have the other action item is, as I mentioned, about finding the board member comment that seemed to have a direct connection with our efforts here. Hopefully we will hear back from Alan and his input as it relates to the Pedner exercise, as well as communicate to the other chairs of those working groups to see if they have interest in providing input, color commentary to their experience. And then lastly, start prepping for our next exercise, which is to begin to build the visual / early draft checklist of what components may fit into the policy process work product.
That makes sense. I'm happy to work with you on that too, Barry.
Great. Thank you. I think for this, I guess the last question I'll ask, at least for those members, we haven't done a doodle poll in a while. Is the 20 UTC time frame still appropriate, or should we try continuing, I think, our alternating pattern where the previous one was somewhere around 13 UTC? I'm open to suggestions.
Blah, blah, blah. That's Cheryl making blah noises. If you're going to alternate, I don't have a problem actually with you alternating, but if you're going to alternate and you alternate off this cycle, for example, at 1300 UTC in the night I'm just finishing, because at the moment it's coming up to my 7 a.m, you would be the, I think, third ICANN clashing call running at the same time, and the fourth actual conference call competing. So just watch other commitments that are on the ICANN calendar, not so much for the time, but for the day within a month. I couldn't go to the NCSG conference call last night because it happened to clash with the ALAC monthly call, and these clashes are happening far too frequently. So, you know, a shared calendar is a good idea, but staff actually have to look at it.
Right, very good. Well, I think in the interest of Blas, I'll maintain the 20 UTC for now until I hear other concerns, at least for our next call, and we can move from there.
Yeah, I see a quick note from Ninad Orlik in the comment section. Is that about trying to get more done in between meetings? Okay, so I mean, there are some things that are going on. So, and my guess is that a lot of folks are getting back to Barry directly with their updates rather than having an open conversation in the interim. But we'll be circulating some stuff in the near term here on the list, so keep an eye open for it.
Indeed. Okay, well, this is Barry. That's all I have for this time. Jonathan, I guess back to you. Any last parting comments or close the meeting, I guess, folks?
Okay, well, thanks, everyone. We'll take Nanat's comment to heart and make sure that we try to keep the conversation active in between meetings. I'm also willing to bump it up to weekly, so we should discuss that too if we want to try to hit this a little harder, if there's some interest in that. So maybe we can ask that on the list as well. But otherwise, thanks everyone for participating, and we'll see you on the next call. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thanks, Barry.